everybody. We want to say good morning to you, you and you. We're so thankful to God to be here this morning, broadcasting live here at the Nazarene Baptist Church of Evansville, Indiana, where our pastor is Reverend Larry A. Rasko, Sr. We are just excited. We're excited about our Christ. We're excited about our God. We're excited about the love he has for us. We're excited about his goodness.
Yeah.
We're excited about his grace and his mercy. We're just excited that he is our God. He is our loving Father. And we come this morning to bless his name. We come this morning to lift him up.
Lift him up.
And I just wonder if there's anybody out there today
Hallelujah. That
want to help us lift him up today. Because the Bible says that he is great and he's greatly to be praised. And that's what we come to do today, is give our great God a great praise. Is there a witness today?
Amen.
Here we go. You should.
You should be.
Come on, everybody singing with us. You should be a witness.
You should be a witness.
Yeah. You ought to tell somebody.
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 Here we go. Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
Come on, rest it, Everybody gonna be a witness for him.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you wanna be a witness for him, yeah. Cause he's been real good, yeah. He's been so kind, yeah. Keeps on taking him away. Keeps on opening the door. Tell him, stand up and be a witness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We ought to tell of his goodness, tell of his mercy, his love toward us. Everywhere we go, we ought to pray that God gives us opportunity to be a witness for him. One voice, let's sing Precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Now I love you.
Now I love you.
How I live.
How I live. Hide my voice with your praise.
Say, Holy Spirit.
Drench my heart as my lips
are
your grace.
Let's say it again, everybody. Precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Now I love you.
Now I love you.
How I live.
How I live.
How
I live.
I implore thee.
Hallelujah. Implore thee.
Drench my heart.
Drench my heart.
As my
lips. As my lips.
Heart your praise.
Heart your praise.
Let's do that one more time. Precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Come on, let's sing it sweetly unto him. Tell him, now I love you.
Now I love you.
How I lived,
how I lived,
how my voice,
how
come on,
my
tell
voice
him with your praise,
with your praise.
The Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
Come on, y'all, this is just a love song unto the Lord. I implore thee,
I implore thee.
Come on, tell him, drench my heart.
Drench my heart.
As my lips.
As my lips.
Heart your praise.
Heart your praise.
Come on, still one voice that say, I am persuaded.
I am persuaded.
Lord, to love you.
Lord, to love
say,
you.
Say, I have been changed.
I
hallelujah.
Have been
to bless your name.
To
receive Brother Dwight Langley as he comes to lead us in our scripture and prayer. Amen.
Thank you for that song of Zion. I'm trying to get myself under control. Church family, our scripture today is 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I shall read verses 11 through 13. So he sent for him and had him, Lord, have mercy. So he asked Jesse, "Are all these the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Lord, bless his holy name. And church family, let us pray. Heavenly Father, is once born again, a few of your children calling on that precious and holy name. We thank you for last night's laying down and letting us rise this morning with a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you. Some of us had bad news last week. We went to the doctor and we're waiting on results. But Heavenly Father, we know that you are in control. Heavenly Father, we ask you bless those who are protecting the country. We ask you to bless those behind prison walls. But Heavenly Father, we ask that you keep it nice and simple, because you have chosen each one of us to spread your good news. You have chosen us, Heavenly Father, to deliver the message. When we keep it nice and simple, you woke us up this morning. You put food on our table. You kept us in our right mind. So, Heavenly Father, we can't help but say thank you for all that you have done. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you go out throughout the whole country and throughout this whole world. There's fear among them. Don't let the devil is trying to prey upon the fear. But, Heavenly Father, we are your children. Let the word that the pastor is going to say today and all the men who are called by you to spread your good news, give us some encouragement. Let us use your word so we can be about thy business. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to put your anointing upon this service and all service open in thy name. Come into the room. Come into the room, Lord. When you come into the room, there's peace and joy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, we say praise the Lord to you, you and you. We are truly enjoying the Spirit of the Lord today. His presence is in this place. And we thank him. We thank him. We are so excited today about this worship experience. And we are excited about hearing a word from the Lord. I don't know about you all, but I'm thankful for the word of God. There's power in the word. There's power to transform lives. There's power to change attitudes. There's power to change direction. It's all in the Word of God. And so we're excited today about hearing this great gospel as our pastor comes to share the Word of God with us. So we're going to sing a song that we've grown to love here at the Nazarene Church. The song comes from Romans 8:28. Says, "And we know that all things are working together for the good of them who love the Lord." And as I was even writing this song and I was thinking about that text, I was thinking about, Pastor, the process that I use in making a pound cake. And Dwight, that cake flour by itself is not that good. That salted butter by itself, it ain't that good. The sugar by itself, it is sweet, but it ain't good for me. And then there's milk. Milk is good to me, but milk messes with my stomach. And so it's not necessarily good for me. But it takes all of that. It takes the not so good, it takes the sweet, it takes the not so bad, It takes the stuff that hurts my stomach. It takes all of that. And then I don't like raw eggs. Eggs by themselves not just that good, but it takes all of that. And then I got to put it in the same container. And then I got to put some pressure on it. I got to turn the beater on the mixer, in order to mix all of this stuff together. And to tell you, the end result of it is a good, hot, moist, creamy pound cake. But it had to go through the process to get through that. And so what God is saying to us is that I'm taking all of that stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sweet, the stuff you don't like, the stuff that make you sick, he said, and I'm going to put some pressure on it. I'm going to mix it all together, and it's going to work out for your good. You don't have to worry about it, because it's going to turn out for your good. Anybody excited about the word of God, that we know that everything we go through in life, God is putting it together, and he's working it out for your good. Come on, Shalante, and sing. How long?
How long trouble will last? I know you've even asked the question, will this too pay? He's working it out.
Oh, yes, he is.
For your good. Yes, he is.
He's working it out.
Every problem, every situation.
For your good.
It's working together. Feel it's working together. together. It's working together. Hey, Dwight, it's working together. God will take good and bad, happy, sad. It's working together. Hey, Moni, it's working together. So let him work. 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 Cause it's working together. It's working together. For we know that all things. Sit down, Junior. All things. Working together for your good. I dare you to wait and see, wait and see, wait and see.
You can't make me doubt it. You can't make me doubt it.
I wonder if there's anybody that's willing to praise God in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody willing to trust God and just
hallelujah.
Give him a real good praise.
Hallelujah.
In advance.
Hey.
Do you have enough maturity to go on and praise God in advance?
Thank you, Jesus.
He gonna do it. He gonna do it. He gonna do it. How I know? He's brought you too far.
Thank you, Jesus.
To leave you now. He gonna do it.
Oh, yeah. I can praise him right now because I know. I know.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If I was typing online, I'd have one of them memes running all over the place. Amen. He's just that good. Hey, let's thank God for our psalmist. Our psalmist today. We thank God for our psalmist today. We thank God for the band. We've got some technicians, and they are absolutely awesome. We're building our team and want you to pray and thank God for them. God's been so good. One of our church daughters has grown up. She done stepped into adulthood. She's been all the way to college and got a degree in communications, and now she operates cameras down at the TV station, and now she's helping us as well. And let's thank God for Janelle, who's joining the team. We appreciate you. Amen. There's a word from the Lord today, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to read the first and the sixth and seventh verse. Let me go over here, get some water. I thought I was good, but Junior, y'all made me holler today. I ain't even got started. Amen. 1 Samuel 16, the first verse said, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long are you going to mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king.'" That sixth verse, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. I want to talk about lessons on leadership, lessons on choosing leadership. I'm convinced that God wants me to help you, his people, on as we living in the midst of a presidential campaign, in the midst of all kinds of issues and rhetoric. And everybody has a story to tell, and some of it's true on both sides, but a lot of it isn't, and it's really hard to tell. And so we've got to learn how do you sift through all the rhetoric to figure out what God would have us to do. As a child of God, I'm obligated to join in the process of helping to choose leadership that will help bless and advance God's kingdom. And so I was led to this particular text because in this particular text, God is picking a leader. In this particular text in 1 Samuel, you'll see that God is choosing, he's choosing a king. Matter of fact, he's firing one and he's getting ready to hire another one. And there are three things that he shares to Samuel as Samuel is an instrument that God's going to use to communicate the pick. He says three things to Samuel that I think will be helpful. Michelle, I really believe it'll be helpful for us. I promise you, it's just three simple things that he expresses to Samuel, who is involved with God in picking a leader. Here's the first thing, in essence, that he tells Samuel. In a real sense, he tells Samuel, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And when you look at the first verse of chapter 16, Samuel is grieving because the person that he was hoping would succeed is not a success. And God says, listen to the words of the Lord. God says, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Now let me show you something. Technically, Saul is still, he still has the seat, but God has already made a decision, you're fired. You need to know something, that he has the seat, he's in the seat, but God, who is sovereign, has already decided we're getting ready to move on. And he's speaking to Samuel because Samuel is very grieved over this. I'm sure Samuel was thinking that he was going to be a great success. Saul is exactly what the people wanted. God gave them what they wanted, and Saul has now been fired in the eyes of God. And Samuel is grieved because he wanted him to be a success. But here's the problem. Samuel wants more for Saul than Saul wants for himself. It is possible that in ministry, in life, you can want more for a person than that person wants for themselves. And when you want more for them than they want for themselves, when you see potential possibility, but they don't see it and they won't put in the work to get it, it's possible to feel grieved because they are underachieving. They are underachieving. Well, what'll get you fired? That's a good question, Ed. What will get you fired? I'll tell you what got him fired. When you look in the Word of God, he explains what got him fired. chapter 15, verse 10, God tells Samuel, here's why I'm firing, because I know you're having a hard time with this, but I'm firing him, first of all, because he's turned from me. I'm the one who put him in place, but then now that he's in place, he's turned from me. Secondly, I'm firing him because he won't follow my instructions. But you put them two together, when a person turns from God as if they don't need God, that's a good sign. That's a good sign that you might get fired. And when they don't follow God's instruction, God clearly says, do this, and they do something else. And then God says, I'm firing him because he has had the audacity to set up a monument for himself. In other words, Saul has become a selfish egomaniac. And if you want to know one thing that will get you fired by God, it's selfishness. Because all he thinks about is himself. He doesn't think he has to do what God says. He doesn't think he has to walk in God's truth. He doesn't think he does whatever he thinks he's big and bad enough to do. And when you're supposed to be representing God and you go your own way, even though you have the seat, it's a good sign you're fired. Same verse. God tells Samuel, he says, it's time to move on. In other words, it's over. I know he still has a seat, but it's over. Put a fork in it, because we're getting ready to move on. And he says to Samuel in the same verse, first Samuel chapter 16, I have made another choice. Look at this. First of all, since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons. Well, Shalante, what is God looking for? What does he look for in leadership? I would suggest to you, if you want to be used by God in a mighty way, you need to know that one of the things that God wants, expects, demands, is for any individual who's to be serving him is to come in alignment with his will. You got to be in alignment with his will. You have to walk in parallel with his will. Let me see if I can explain it like this. Me and one of my sons of the church, We were traveling a few days ago. We were coming back from Knoxville, and we were on Highway 40 coming back from Knoxville, and there was a truck that was in front of us, and he was driving, and he was behind this truck for a while, and he said, Pastor, I said, yeah. He said, something's wrong with that truck, and I said, What you mean? He said, it's going down the road and the back end is not in alignment with the front end. How is that possible that the rear end can be over here and the front end is over there? And I looked, and sure enough, the truck was doing a crawl. That's a aviation term. It was doing a crawl down the road. The front wheels were not in alignment with the rear wheels. And whenever you have that, some interesting things are going to happen. One, it'll never be able to function for long as it was designed to. It will start wearing out some stuff that you can't see, because anytime the rear is not aligned with the front and it's going down the road crooked, it's going to wear out the tires, it's going to wear out tie rod ends, because there's undue pressure because it's not rolling like it should. I just said it. I'm going to give you a second to catch it. When you get out of alignment with God, it's going to cause you. Now, ain't gonna cause God no pressure, because God gonna do what he gonna do. He gonna go where he gonna go. But when you are out of alignment, it's gonna cause some undue And it's going to wear out some things that you can't see. God is looking for somebody that will align with his will. Watch this. He's not looking for perfection, because there's no perfect leader. Get this straight. No matter what folks say, there is no perfect leader. They're going to have some shortcomings somewhere. But God is looking for somebody that will align with his will. And watch what God said. He said, I've already made my choice. I've picked one of Jesse's boys, Jesse, the one who lives in Bethlehem. Then it dawned on me, I wanted to know. I was trying to find out, when did God interview David so that he could make his choice on giving David this job? And I searched, and I was trying to find what day David had his appointment where he sat down with God and presented his resume, and I couldn't find it. How you gonna pick somebody and not have an interview? This was bothering me, because every job I've had, I had an interview. And then they decided, after they talked to me, they decided whether or not I would get the position. Could it be that all along God was watching David, even though David didn't know God was watching him? Because here's what we find out about David. In chapter 16, verse 11, you're going to find David serving. Now, here's what's interesting about David serving. Dave served watching over somebody else's sheep. David had a lowly, lowly job. It was nobody. Nobody would dream of becoming a shepherd. Nobody wanted to go to Israel Baptist University so that they could become a shepherd. That's a low man on the totem pole kind of job. But David was serving, and here's what's so amazing. David treated them sheep like they were his own sheep. You see David serving. Not only do you see David serving, but in the 18th verse, you see David celebrating because he's singing. He's working in a hostile environment. I'll get to that in a second. He's working in a place where there's lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. I'll get to that in a minute. But in the midst of a hostile situation, working by himself, and all he has is the sheep to keep him company, he's developed another gift on the side. Because now the word has got out when the Spirit of God had left Saul and an evil spirit was tormenting Saul, somebody was trying to figure out, how do we keep this crazy man from killing us? Maybe if we could have somebody that could come and sing to him, maybe it would calm him down. And somebody else said, I know somebody. There's this dude named David. He plays the guitar and he sings real well. Here's somebody he's serving, even though it's not his sheep. And he's singing, even in a hostile environment. Now, y'all, it's easy to sing when everybody like you. It's easy to sing when everybody is applauding you. It's easy to sing when you got some money in your pocket, your bills are all paid, and all you got to figure out is where you want to go to eat after church. It's easy to sing when everything is going your way. But can you sing in a hostile environment? And David is singing even though he's by himself. David is singing even though there's threatening animals all around him. You got to learn not to sing just when everything's cool. And here's what I discovered. If you have a storm, one of the ways of getting through it, sing your way. You can sing your way out of a storm. I dare you to try it. Trials come your way, sing your way through it. Big old stack of bills, big stack of bills, little stack of money, sing your way through it. That's how folk came up with songs like this. I know the Lord We'll make a way. Who writes a song like that when you're singing through? When you're singing through a storm. Who writes a song like, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior"? It's when they need God and everybody else is getting blessed and they're wondering if God's gonna pass them by. You gotta sing through it. You see David serving, you see David singing. In the 34th verse, when he testifies, you see David saving. You see David working in a hostile environment. And every once in a while, David has to save the sheep. I celebrate David, first of all, because here's somebody, the sheep don't belong to him, but he treats them like they do. And when they get attacked by a lion, he goes after them. He could have said, oh well, ain't my sheep. He could have said, oh, well, they're getting ready to fresh and have some old babies in 3 months. We'll replace it. And here is the other thing. Here's the other thing. A lion can only carry one sheep at a time. He could have said, it's only one. But even though it was only one, David testified one time the lion got a hold of the sheep. One time a bear got a hold of it and ran off with it. Because here's what animals do. Big animals oftentimes will try to grab the vulnerable and then take it off to feast out of sight. But David said, Don't lions eat sheep for a living? If possible, don't bears enjoy sheep? What's wrong with the lion having a sheep? And David's attitude, ain't nothing wrong. He just can't have this one because they belong to my father. He may have somebody else's, but he's not going. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who's looking for somebody who has a heart like his? I know there are lions. I know there are bears. I know there's going to be some folk eating up, but they're not getting one of mine. He goes after them. Listen to what he says. He's saving. He goes after them because they're valuable to God. And what's valuable to God has become valuable to him. He goes after them, and in the text he testifies, he said, I asked the lion, give me back my sheep. he goes back, he said, I said, Mr. Bear, That's my father's sheep. And the bear wouldn't give it up. And the lion wouldn't give it up. And David said, I tell you what I did. I busted him upside the head. Because if you put enough pressure on him, the life becomes more valuable than a meal. You'll catch that in the parking lot. You put enough pressure on him, if you hit him in the right spot, there's some stuff they'll let go of because their life becomes more important than the meal. And they let go. Wait a minute, watch this. David said, I took that sheep out of the lion's mouth. Watch this 34th verse of chapter 16. He said, and when I did that, they turned on me. And when they turned on me, they said, David still wasn't afraid. I got something for you. And then he testifies. He said, with my own hands, I killed them when they turned on me. Have I got a witness here? You need to know, hey, every now and then, when you start snatching sheep out of lions' mouths and bears' mouths and folk that have been oppressing people, they will turn on you. Hey, Alex, check this out. Every now and then when folk get scared and when folk don't like seeing folk in position with Ebony Hue and you trying to do the right thing for the right reason, people will turn on you. They'll turn on you. But David said, I ain't scared. I got something for you. And David said, when all was settled and done, I was standing and they were laying down. What is God looking for? What is he looking for? What is he looking for? When did he interview him? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. He didn't interview him. Because God don't interview. God ain't in the business of interviewing. God's in the business of making. God doesn't have to wait till you do some stuff to try to impress people. The text I read, God had already made up his mind, told Samuel, you go fill up your horn with oil and you go on down because there's somebody I've already chosen. Even without the interview, I'm trying to help somebody up in here. You don't have to interview with God because God made you ultimately to fulfill something marvelous. Have I got a witness? He's in the making business. He took dirt and made a man. He took a rib and made a woman. He took a man and a woman and made children. He's in the making business. He took Abraham and Sarah and made a multitude. He took Peter and made him a fisher of men. He took you and me and made us the head and not the tail. Have I got a witness here? The God that we serve, he's in the making business. He's in the making business. So the truth is, he'd already made his choice. Listen to this conversation. Samuel, it's time to move on. Samuel, I've made another choice. And Samuel, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to tell some people no. You're going to have to tell some people no. Go to Bethlehem, find Jesse. I have chosen one of his sons. When you get down there, Jesse, he says, I'll tell you what to do. And he gets down there with the heifer because they're going to make a sacrifice to the Lord. He invites Jesse and his sons to come to the sacrifice. And the oldest son was the first one that shows up, and Samuel saw him and immediately thought, surely he's the one. And I know the Lord was saying in the back of his mind, here we go again. Here we go again. You looking at somebody who's tall. You're looking at his hair. You're looking at his appearance. Because, y'all, we got to go beyond that. When we need leadership, I'm trying to help somebody up in here. Sister girl, you got to go beyond his height. You got to go beyond what he's driving. You got to go beyond all of that because all of that external stuff is going to change. Ooh-wee, I sure wish I had a picture of me when I was 18 with my arms folded with my 32 size jeans and had my arm underneath my biceps, whatever these are, and I was pushing them up because I was trying to look sexy because I had a girl I was trying to get her attention. Her name was Trudy Marcel. And after 40 years, that didn't change. Ha ha ha. everything hadn't changed. And so you got to go beyond that. You got to go beyond that. God says to Samuel, no, he ain't the one. Watch this. Here's the problem. Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. There are going to be people that want the job but can't have it because God didn't choose them. And you got to be the one to tell them. Now, I know that Samuel didn't announce, I'm here looking for the next king. I know he didn't say that. And so everybody coming in, they don't know what Samuel's up to. But Eliab, the oldest one, he gets in and he meets Samuel. Samuel says, how you doing? Give him some dap and all of that. And God says, he ain't the one. And Samuel has to say, next. And he comes, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And God said, he ain't the one. And Samuel has to say, next. And he does this seven times. And each time God tells him, he ain't the one. And then he turns and looks at Jesse and said, are you sure? Do you have any more sons? He said, well, the youngest one, we didn't even invite him. The youngest one, he's still out tending sheep. And Samuel said, well, we can't make the sacrifice until he come. We can't worship until we come. We can't do what God wants us to do until he come. Isn't that interesting? You weren't even invited to the party, but when God has something for you, he'll stop the party and wait for you to show up. And when David comes in, the Lord said, he's the one. And he took the oil and poured it on David. I need to give you a word to share this word with somebody else, because all of us know somebody that then gave up on God. And I need you to tell them, yes, there was a lot of people rejected in this text. Six people. Saul was rejected, seven brothers were rejected. But here's what you need to know. Since God created you, you can believe he's got a yes with your name on it. If you just walk with him, he got a yes with your name on it. I know a whole lot of people have told you no. They said no at the bank. They said no for the house. They said no for the car. You keep walking with God. They said no. Everybody said no. But here's what you need to know. Your father, have I got a witness here? God can sovereignly arrange some sanctified no's so that he'll get you to the door he wants to get you to. Sometimes he'll say no now because he's trying to get you to something better. He's trying to get you to something better. He said, he ain't the one. And he gets to David and says, anoint him. Walter, watch this. The text says, he anoints David in the presence of his brothers. Tracy, why would God have Samuel anoint David in the presence of all his big brothers? I got two reasons, and I'll go to my last point and sit down if I can. He does it in the presence of his brothers so that his brothers will know God did it. I wish I could hear y'all shout. Somebody ought to be shouting on the screen. Here's what you need to know. God will do it in the presence of other folk so that when they get to talking about it, they will have to say, David didn't do it. David didn't earn it. God did it. David didn't say nothing. All David did was show up, and then God did it. Don't be mad at David. God did it. I told you, I got two reasons. He did it in the presence of his brothers because he let the brothers know God did it. And then God does it in the presence of your brothers, of your haters, so that you'll know God did it. Because every once in a while, we get beside ourselves. Every now and then, we forget who really did it. But God will bless you. God will anoint you. But you need to know it wasn't you. Nobody. But the Lord, he did it. If folk wanted to ask you, how'd you get thus far? God did it. How'd you get that house? I tell you, God did it. How'd you build that school? I'll tell you, God did it. How'd you get such a lovely wife? I'll tell you, God did it. How did you raise your children? I'll tell you, God did it. He 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 did it for me, and he did it for you. I can't leave without telling you one last thing. You remember what long ago we went to Walmart and they ran out of toilet paper. Remember when we went to Walmart? I ain't never seen this before. What, no chicken? Ran out of chicken. Ran out of hamburger. Went to Walmart. People were picking up the last cans of hominy. Who buys hominy? Trying to find some ramen noodles. Couldn't find no ramen noodles because they ran out. Trying to find some hands. You remember when we were running around town trying to find hand sanitizer? Because they ran out. I got some real good news. God told Samuel, you fill your horn with oil and you go and anoint David. And when Samuel poured all his oil on David, Samuel ran out of oil. But I got some good news. The God we serve, he never runs out of he never runs out of oil. The oil represents the Spirit of God. The oil represents the power of God. And when God had Samuel anoint David, it said, and the power of the Lord came upon him from that very day. I want to tell you that when Jesus died for our sins and ascended on high, he promised to send the Holy Spirit. And God has never run out of Holy Ghost. He has never run out of the anointing. He will never run out of what he needs to supply us with the power to do what he's called us to do. And so the anointing is simply this. It's the power of God on your life to do what he's called you to do. And God will give you an anointing. He will anoint you. God is looking. One, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. God sovereignly puts leadership in place. And God, even though he puts leadership in place, it doesn't mean that that leader will be a good leader. And sometimes God will say, well, hey, it's time to move on. And God clearly told Samuel, I have made another choice. And I'm grateful to God that God didn't send Samuel down there to interview him. Don't go interview him. Just go do what I said, because he's already been picked. And you need to know that God has already picked you. It's just a question of will you respond to his will. Told Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I've been looking at two sweet new grandbabies. And each one of them, when I look at them, I look at them knowing that God has a plan for their lives. God brought them into the world for a reason, and he has a plan. He has an assignment for each and every one of them. And I may not live to see all that they do for the kingdom, but God has an assignment on their lives. He has an assignment on their parents' lives to get them to that point where they can do what God has called them to do. God don't run out of oil. He's got enough oil for you and me. And beloved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know for a fact that God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for you, so much that he died for our sins. God raised him from the dead. He ascended on high. And if you place your faith in him, you will become a child of God. The Holy Spirit will indwell you, and the favor and the power of God will be with you as you walk in alignment with God's will. He'll give you the power to do what he is making you to do and become. I want to encourage you, even now, you can pray this prayer. Gracious God, my Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead, and I trust him today as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, anoint me afresh, that I may do what you have called me to do and be what you have called me to be. Thank you that you're not calling perfect people, but you will perfect those who you call. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, love you. Thank you so much to each and every one of you today. Here, let me share with you that the Lord has been so good to us. I want to encourage you to please remember, I'm going to share some prayer requests in just a few minutes. It's time for the offering. It's time for the offering. It's time for the offering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you. Some of you may have already given through Givelify, PayPal. Walked in this morning. There was a pile of envelopes because you had already came. You had already came and you gave. And so we thank you for your faithfulness. We're really excited. We're really excited about what God is doing. We have been working really hard in preparation for returning together. We're working on a plan, and we'll be sharing with you what that plan is. I had a meeting with my leadership just yesterday, and we celebrated all the things that God has allowed us to accomplish, and there's been some remodeling and all of those good things going on. If you've driven by, you'll see that we're preparing for new landscaping. When you come inside, you're going to see some areas that have been just spruced up, and you won't see any clutter because we're preparing to come back. We will be social distancing, but I'll let you know that day, and we'll communicate you what the protocol will be. So thank God for your faithfulness. You keep on giving, keep on sharing. We love you and thank God for each and every one of you. As we close today, I do want to ask that you please remember Brother Phil Raspberry in prayer. I had a chance to put my eyes on him last night. We Zoomed last night and we had a great time. He told me to tell you that God is good and God is real, and truly the favor of the Lord is on him. And please remember Sister Deborah, and want to ask that you please remember Brother John Bush. Please remember John Bush and Brother Haskins, Brother Charles Haskins. Please remember them in prayer. We've had loved ones who have lost. We've had people who've lost loved ones. I want to ask that you please continue to pray for the O'Bannons. Please remember Danielle Weatherford and the loss of her mother. And won't you remember, please, Kim and Candace Hinton, and know that we're apart, but we can still connect and be together. And so we thank God for you. I want to ask that you please remember Dr. Anthony Brooks in prayer as well. And so it's been a good day. We know that you could have been any place else worshiping with anybody else, but we appreciate you taking time to be with us. We don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. We're going to close in prayer. God, thank you for loving us enough to grant and to give and direct and sovereignly select leaders. I pray that, dear God, that we'll trust you, because you're in control. You're in control of our nation. You're in control of this world. And in the midst of all of the rhetoric, God, you be with us and help us to keep serving. And help us to keep singing. Help us to keep saving. And we have a voice and a vote. And we have the privilege of having your a power and anointing on our lives to make a difference in the lives of others. Give us the courage to stand, even as we see the least, the left out, the lost, and the lonely. And when the enemy turns on us, help us to stand, because we don't stand alone. We thank you for making us into what you want us to be. As we depart from this place, God, I pray your blessings on those names that were mentioned and those that we may not even know about. Give strength, I pray. Give them strength. Bless those who stand by their side. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people that consistently and continually give that your kingdom might advance. For all these things we say, thank you. May your traveling grace be upon us, those who are coming and going. To you be the glory, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen.